Hello, and welcome to Sounding Out with Izzy, the podcast where we have conversations with musicians, music producers, publicists, live promoters, zine makers, journalists, and more about their experiences working in the music industry as women, non-binary, and queer people. I'm your host, Isabel Korp, the founder of the queer femme music-based blog and YouTube channel, A Girl's Two Sound Sense. For today's episode, I had the pleasure of chatting with Kelsey and Ashley of Girl Music, a women-owned and women-run music blog, podcast, and artist consultation service. I had a blast talking to Kelsey and Ashley about the mission to center women, queer people, and POC artists at the top of their game in music, and also pick their brains on what songs they might pick for certain life scenarios, from first dates to calling it quits at a soul-sucking job to living their best main character lives. I would also love to direct you to the episode of Kelsey and Ashley's podcast, Bops and Bangers, which I was a guest on. You can find more details and the link to that episode in the show notes of this episode. And without further ado, let's get right into this episode.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. So excited to meet you. This is exciting.
I'm excited as well.
How's everything going?
Sorry, my dogs are insane today.
Dogs? There's dogs? Yeah. Oh, are they in the frame? Is it possible to get
them? No, they have been thrown outside because I have the naughtiest baby who reacts to like literally every leaf falling. So I didn't want her to bark during this.
She's not doing great
today. No, she's doing well. I'm having a lot of delivery guys today, apparently. So she's a little activated. Got it. But so nice to meet you. I'm so excited.
I'm excited as well. You guys are professionals. You got the headphones on and everything. I should probably cup up as well, but mine are dead.
Oh my God. I did an interview this morning and mine were dead. Like as soon as I got on to do it, and it was so loud in my house this morning. I was like, well, I'm just going to have to go with it. Sorry. Like I felt so awkward.
That's our life. I think our entire existence is just the fact that like we just steal what other people are doing. So like we've seen people wear headphones while they podcast, so we wear headphones while we podcast.
Right. I love that. It's just like, well, I assume that the quality improves if I do this because that's what the professionals do, right?
Yes,
like that's exactly how I research.
Exactly. I'm like, the TikTokers do it, so I should do it, right?
Yeah.
I think that's appropriate.
Yeah. So I'm starting all of my new podcast episodes like this because I'm obsessed with being an archivist now, I guess, archivist, however you say it.
Oh, yeah, that works.
I love that.
Would you like to state your names, what time it is, and where you are?
Surely. I'm Kelsey. It is 3:02 p.m. on Wednesday, April 5th, and I'm in San Diego.
I'm Ashley, and I'm also in San Diego, and we are Girl Music.
Hell yeah.
We always do like to do a boop afterwards. Boop.
Welcome Girl Music to the pod. I am currently in Chelsea, New York, and it is 6:03 p.m. where I am.
Oh, nice.
Crazy. Dinner time, girl, dinner time.
Yep.
I was just telling Kels before we hopped on that I did like kind of a dive on your podcast, and then like your YouTube channel is awesome, and I just like your voice is so such a cool voice. Like I love it on your YouTube and stuff. It's amazing.
Thank you. I appreciate that you enjoy my voice. I've heard that from a few people, and I've gotten a lot of like, you know how older men behind a computer can be like that. They just love to complain about everything.
Oh yes.
anytime they hear anything that sounds like a woman, sometimes it'll be like, why don't you sound like, sometimes it'll be like they just hear a female voice and it triggers them, like, and they're like foaming at the mouth, or they'll be like, why do you sound like a man? Sometimes they'll say stuff like that. And I'll be like, what the, what? Go outside.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Go outside.
Yes.
Get a, get a dog, get a life, like
get a hobby,
get a hobby, get a job. Like,
yeah,
I always used to be so embarrassed of my low voice. Like, hated being an alto in high school, hated having a lower register. And now I'm like, you know what? We're the badass bitches of the world. We're the cool ones. 100%. We can go low.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Our, like, Instagram following is, like, almost 80% women. So we have almost zero trolls. And it's so nice.
It's beautiful. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
We don't get judged, thank God. I mean, maybe we do, but they just keep it to themselves, which I prefer.
Yeah. Well, I've done a deep dive on y'all as well. I was listening to your podcast while I was walking to a friend's, I was taking the train to a friend's birthday party the other night. And you know how it is, you know, do you get that feeling when you walk into bars and you're just like so stifled and paralyzed by social anxiety that you're just like, should I even bother? Like, should I even go? But I listened to your podcast on the train and it was so great at like quelling that and making me feel calm. It was almost like meditating, just like hearing you guys like spout hot takes about the music industry and talk about your highlights at South By and all that great stuff. And it was just, so I appreciate y'all for that. Like, y'all are making life easier for me.
Oh, that's so
sweet. I think I'm literally about to cry. It's fine. I'm like really PMS-y. So if I shed a tear, I apologize.
All good, girl. So I guess to start, we can start at the beginning. How did you two meet?
We've actually known each other since kindergarten. So we grew up in the same tiny town at the tip of San Diego County. And clearly Ashley and I were destined to become friends because we have the same exact humor. And I think our friendship really like really kicked off, I think, in like third grade when we started like passing notes to each other and like scheming and dreaming and cool things like that. And then ever since then, we've kind of been just inseparable, but lived eons away from each other.
Yeah. We went to middle school together, and then she went to an Idlewild Arts Academy, which was out of San Diego. And then she went to Pittsburgh for college. I went to Arizona for college. And then now the last like 4 years is when we've actually lived the closest, I think, our whole lives.
Our whole lives. It's so much fun. It's so much fun knowing she's like 15 minutes away now.
It's awesome. And to work together has been amazing. It's just been truly fantastic.
I bet. Yeah. And how did you get the idea to start this? I guess at first it was maybe like a blog or a platform to talk about music. And you're also, what's really cool is you're also like sort of like parlaying it into a small business, and hopefully eventually like you'll turn it into a massive empire. Like, that's the vision I have for girls who talk about music, like, cause we deserve it. And NBs who love music and gays and theys and all that. Yeah. Just, I feel like we're overdue for like not just a reckoning, but like a collecting like our dues when it comes to, because girls are the backbone of music and music fandom.
I actually have a whole spiel about fangirls being like the key to any community, and the fact that we get made fun of the most is almost embarrassing to the people making fun of you. But I think for us, like, girls started because I needed a creative outlet. When I graduated from college, I used to be a music director for my radio station in college. And after that, I was just like, I need to write this all out. I need to get this like energy out, because I had to get a real job. So like, I was in the business world and needing kind of that community of people who also really loved music. So as a Tumblr girly, for a long time. And then I stopped because life got in the way. And then I started and then I stopped because life got in the way. And then finally pandemic hit and Ashley and I were just kind of like shooting the shit over text because what else were we going to do? And we're like, do we podcast? Do we make girl a thing? Like, do we just try? And we were bored and we're like, let's do it. So literally we like went back recently and archived a bunch of really old posts on our Instagram. And it's so crazy to see where we were then. And like our graphics, what we did, like the artists we were promoting are still the same artists we're promoting now, by the way. And I think it's really cool to see that evolution and where it was like just even 2 years ago to now. You're right, like we are a small business. Our goal is to become an empire. We want to have girl music street teams in every city. We want girls to feel safe when they go to concerts. We want artists to be developed in a safe mental health spotlight kind of way. And so we have a lot of ideas about how girl music could grow. And I think between the two of us, plus our other employee, Rachel, we just keep on going forward, which is really exciting for all of us.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Just ditto to everything you said. And also I love how you mentioned Rachel because she's like already like just a dazzling, just.
Oh, yes.
Oh, we agree.
Just a ray of much needed sunshine whenever I see her pop up.
Yeah, especially for like the Gen Z, because a lot of, you know, yeah. Ashley and I are in our 30s. So Rachel really, really brings this like fresh take on everything for us too, and really like helps us see things in a younger generation's eyes. And she's so cool, like effortlessly cool. She might not think that, but we do. We really do.
We know it.
And she's got pink hair, so she fit in perfectly. She's amazing. She's actually our full-time employee now, so it's great. We love having her with us all the time.
So you know how when I was trying to prepare like some fun topical stuff to discuss with you guys, I was racking my brain a bit, like trying to figure out, like, I ask people who I have on the podcast or artists I interview or other writers, I always ask like, oh, what's the music that really inspires you and that you loved as a kid? And I was trying to figure out like a creative and like fun, kind of weird, wacky way to ask that question. So here's what I came up with.
Ooh.
To start, I would like you each to pull up your Songs That Define Me playlists.
Yes, ma'am. That's easy peas. Let's see. Where do I put that? Girl music? Yeah.
I know.
I don't even know where my own playlists are. Okay, let's do it. Oh, yeah. I forgot I added to this sucker, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is beautiful.
All right. So my first question is, which defining song on each of your playlists would you play for a first date?
Oh. Oh my God. I love that. Oh, that's so fucked. I can't do No Children by the Mountain Goats. That seems really,
that's a little heavy.
That's already an immediate breakup song.
Ooh. Oh man, it kind of depends on like my headspace.
how the date's going.
Because I like,
is this a date we're excited about? Okay.
You're hitting it off. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I know. Something to Talk About by Bonnie Raitt, for sure.
Oh, that's a fun one.
Let's give them something to talk about. You know, like that's a little sassy, which is very me. A little just throaty, also me. So I think definitely that's the perfect song for a first date scenario.
All of my songs are really sad or like self-loving. Like if the date was going horribly wrong, I'd get in my car, listen to Soulmate by Lizzo or Independent Woman by Destiny's Child for sure. But the date's going good. I have Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me by Elton John and George Michael. That's a banger. Also, Ends of the Earth by Lord Huron is another romantic beautiful song.
Oh yeah, I feel like that would be so good for like a nighttime picnic, Ash. Like,
oh yeah, totally. You know, and it's not like too heavy because I mean, I have "Come What May" from the Moulin Rouge soundtrack, which I'm definitely walking down the aisle to when I get married this year. But that's like that's like at the end of the relationship. That's nice. When we're about to sign the contract.
Sign the life away.
Yeah, it's over.
All right. And oh, I talk about Bonnie Raitt, like talk about like a virtuoso guitar player too.
Oh my god.
On another level.
So underrated too. I feel like she's not really talked about in the same way we talk about Joni Mitchell or Stevie Nicks or those badass kind of 70s femme women. Like, I feel like Bonnie Raitt has got some bangers from back in the day that really are underrated. And I'm trying to speak about her as much as I can. Actually, one of the artists we work with, her name's Maddie Carpenter. She is like a Bonnie Raitt clone, but for the new age. And so now I'm just all in my Bonnie Raitt feels. Yeah. I'm like, because you can, you know, like I'm getting to the heart and soul of Bonnie Raitt at this point.
My next question is, you're raging out at the corporate world and you're having your big "you can't fire me, I quit" moment. What song plays as that happens?
Oh, I got this easily.
I have so many that fit this. Ooh.
Mine is definitely "Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous" by Good Charlotte.
Mine was gonna be "I'm Just a Kid" by Simple Plan.
Oh, see, we had to go back to our pop punk adolescence.
We were huge emo kids. We had the very thick bangs. We loved Hot Topic.
Dyed my hair black. I had a chain wallet. It was a whole vibe.
I had a tie. I was going to marry Joel from Good Charlotte. It was a thing. It was a vibe. But that's so... I actually have a few songs that would fit that, though, because I feel like "The Winner Takes It All" by ABBA.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, you know, yeah, middle fingers out kind of scenario. I feel like "It's Too Late," Carole King, could be fun. "Who Do You Think You Are," Spice Girls. I mean, there's some bangers in there that could fit that scenario, depending on how fuck you want to get, you know?
Nice. And finally, you are the main character in a coming of age movie or series. Which song is your theme?
Fuck, I have multiple. This playlist of mine is a bop and a banger. I'm not going to lie. I'm listening to this when I'm done here. Like, I chose well. I think I would go with, I have two. One being Dolly Parton's "Here You Come Again," because if it's Dolly. Like, yes. But I think the real true one to me is "This Is the Day" by The, which is in a movie called Empire Records, which is my favorite movie of all time. I've watched it about 900 times. And that is such a main character.
She loves that.
Can confirm. I know every word to it. I celebrate Rex Manning Day. Like, it's a thing. But that is such a, I don't know, that for me, that's such a main character vibe. So I'm going with The, which is the worst band name ever.
But they have so many bangers, though.
Yeah, that no one remembers.
This one's hard for me because my Pisces brain is like, my main character story has like a crying in the car scene that's like very dramatic. And it would have
to be... It's a damn cold night.
Yeah. And it would have to be like, oh, geez, for our Island Fires and Family, like some Dermot Kennedy moment.
Yes.
Like, I just really see that happening. But I also have, like, I don't know if I have any. "Line of Sight" by Odessa is a pretty powerful main character moment. But
very, very. I see, like, you transitioning into that after your crag in your car while the rain's coming down. And then you're like, wait. You shed your skin and then just Odessa starts playing. I can see this whole movie happening. I'm here for it.
And I am so happy you two mentioned that you're former emo kids, which is something I also found in my deep dive on all your content. So I just couldn't resist. So fuck, marry, kill, second to third wave emo edition. World, Fall Out Boy, and Taking Back Sunday.
Oh. You want me to go first, Kels?
Yeah, because I think I need to sit on this a little.
Okay. So here's the thing. I've always wanted to see Taking Back Sunday live. I don't know if you know, but we went to when we were young last year in Vegas, and the day we were supposed to go, it got canceled. So that was a heartbreaker for us emo kids. It was really hard to get through.
That's the worst day of our life. I was supposed to
see Taking Back Sunday. I hear that they're not very great live, but taking that out of the equation, I would definitely marry Taking Back Sunday. I love them so much. Jimmy Eat World, we've seen them. They're okay. I think that who's the other band?
Fall Out Boy.
Fall Out Boy. Oh, okay. Never mind. Fuck Taking Back Sunday. Marry Fall Out Boy. Kill Jimmy Eat World.
Wow. Okay. I'm going a little bit opposite. I'm going to marry Taking Back Sunday. Cause that's just classic. I'm definitely fucking Fall Out Boy because that would be fun and energetic. I'm killing Jimmy Eat World because I really only know the song The Middle, and that seems to be like the only song of Jimmy Eat World I know off the top of my head. Like the other two I can rattle off, you know?
Yeah.
Well, we saw Jimmy live. They were pretty fun. But yeah, I know the other bands at Caboo in Del Mar.
Whoa, I forgot about. See, I don't even remember these things. Yeah. Now, if you said All American Rejects, we'd have some issues. Oh my gosh. Here, you know, that would change it up a little.
That'd be, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you choose? Yeah.
I would have to marry Taking Back Sunday. Fuck Fall Out Boy. Kill Jimmy Eat World. I'm so, we are disappointing so many emo dads.
I know. Emo dads.
Oh yeah. The dads are going to get very upset. They're not even emo.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, Bob.
All right.
Robert. Yeah. Sit down.
He's heartbroken at our response. He's like literally so crushed.
Everybody in Tempe, Arizona just turned off this podcast right now.
I love that thought though. They're like, fine, turns it off. Yeah. I'm done.
So upset.
Actually, have you guys heard of the book Sellout by Dan Ozzie?
No.
I think I have it over there. I'm trying to look to see if I can find it, but it's so good. It's a, I think, 12-part series about the major label feeding frenzy on pop punk, emo, and post-hardcore. Oh, it starts with Green Day's Dookie and ends with Against Me's Defending Axl Rose, I think that was their major label debut.
By Paul?
Wait.
Is it by Paul Beatty?
It's by Dan Ozzie. It's called Sellout.
Dan Ozzie. I'm writing it down so I don't forget.
Ooh, we're now going to be reading this.
Yeah.
The My Chemical Romance chapter, by the way, is my favorite because you get to learn so much about their manager, Sarah, who knew virtually nothing about music management. She picked up that classic Donald Passman book, Everything You Need to Know About the Music Industry, the one that gets updated every single month because the industry moves so fast.
Yeah.
But she just like read that on the way to her first meeting with like a label. She picked up everything she needed to know from online marketing. She basically did all of the optimizations and MySpace pushes that initially broke the band. And almost no one talks about her, but they actually got scared and they had to let her go because, and this was their exact wording, you're too good at your job and this is moving too fast.
What?
Whoa. That seems almost like maybe this is rude, but that almost seems like a very like bullshitty answer to letting someone go. Like, you're too good at your job. It's moving too fast. Is that what you want? You're a band. You know what I mean? Like, do we think that's the culture? The at that time, like, they just didn't want a woman because that culture was so fucking brutal.
Oh no, I know. Knowing the My Chem background, like they had a lot of like of women on their team, and they were like very always like about championing the girls.
Okay.
history and making sure they felt safe at shows and everything. But also, she did date Mikey before she managed the band. And I think after they got, might have been the time that she was let go.
That might be a timeline to look at.
Perhaps. Who knows? This is all speculation because it's what humans do.
Yeah, speculation. So
that's super interesting, though. But I really want to read this book now.
But yeah, like that is the reason why I read, why I love doing deep dives into all this stuff, and why I read all these books about music is because of people like her.
Yes, because you're looking for the people who don't get that recognition.
Yeah,
that's why your YouTube channel is so awesome. Because you do that, you have a lot of videos about that stuff.
Thank you. How did you guys initially find me, by the way, just out of curiosity?
Our business manager, Casey, she was like looking, we were looking for kind of similar podcasts to be on because we love talking about music and being a female. So she like immediately found you because I think she just typed in like Riot Girl.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And, you know, we share a girl.
Yeah, I actually, like, you have no idea, like, how I was, like, hyperventilating when I got that email because I had followed y'all on Instagram for so long.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, if she searched Riot Girl and I popped up, that's good because my social optimization skills.
Oh, we are.
Building.
Yes.
We are just learning our own SEO. We're so bad at that part of it. We're like, how do we do this? Maybe we should do this.
What is keywords? And what are the words keying?
Yeah, are they keying is what I say every day. I'm like, well, how is this working?
But yeah, I would mostly, I think I had to go with my answer as well because I don't have, I think most of it might have to do with the fact that we don't have that nostalgic tie to Jimmy Eat World. Like,
oh yeah,
if you hear The Middle or Sweetness at emo night, you might bob your head a bit, but like you hear Cute without the E, it's like catnip for millennials. It's like aural catnip.
Yeah, it like is an energy drink in my veins. Like I just get so hype.
It's what I imagine steroids feel like.
Yeah, oh my God,
like we're just ripping our shirts off. Going into Hulk mode. Just
oh my God, I know.
I love amazing. That thought, though.
Okay, another fun trivia question I have. Not really trivia. It's not like really a knowledge thing. It's just a fun like, but if you have a multiple choice thing. So you have the option to enter a battle royale with a snarky music publication. Who would be the person to finish? I'm going with two, and you guys can choose who would be most likely to end your opponents. Who would finish Pitchfork, and who would finish Vice Media?
Oh my God, I was hoping you'd say Pitchfork, because I rage against the machine against them on a daily basis. So can I choose, like, myself?
I choose you.
Can I end that? Because I am just so baffled by the idea that being negative has a place in music. Like, because music is so subjective, to tell me that a Kanye West album is a 10, but like a Camp Cope album is a 6. What? Like, no. So can I battle Pitchfork? Can I end them? Can Girl Music end them? That would be ideal, honestly.
One day.
Damn it.
It'll happen.
I know. As for Vice, I don't know. Vice is so iffy because, man, they know how to use SEO because I get sucked into those videos all the time. But I don't know much about their like music side of things. Are they snarky?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Mm.
But if I had to choose like the lesser of two evils, I would go with Vice over Pitchfork.
Yes. Agreed.
I don't have anything like against like Brian Schreiber. I'm sure he's a lovely man. It just like, but he's also getting he's probably also making a lot of money off those clicks. So
exactly.
But like a lot of the people who wrote for Vice, like Dan Ozzie, like I said earlier, I have always had a soft spot for like their types of writing voices that I feel like I've emulated since I started my blog. And yeah, Vice can often be iffy and they get themselves into hot water a lot, but
shocker.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the problem with, I think that's the problem with both of them is that they really just use music like drama against, like, of course they're going to give Kanye a 10 because it creates the most conversation around it, right?
Yeah.
Of course they're going to give an unknown band a shitty number because they don't actually care because no one's going to click on that. I think that's what we try to really like reverse with Girl is that we don't post about music we don't like. We just don't talk about it. We just move on with our fucking lives. You know what I mean? Yeah. We'd much rather spend time talking about the music we do love without there having to be some sort of controversy behind it. We like having conversations surrounding like our hot takes because that's a conversation. It's not like we're trying to get people to, like we talked about Lil Yachty. I was just trying to convince Ashley that it was a good album. And there was a whole discussion on our YouTube about it. Someone called him Lil Boat, which I found to be hysterical. Lil Boat. But you know, it wasn't a mean conversation. It was just like, I really didn't like this album. And that's okay. That's the thing is we all deserve to have opinions, I think, but they don't have to be so radical that they hurt people. That's just rude.
It doesn't have to be contrary for the sake of being contrary, you know?
Yes.
Which is my biggest gripe in life. Oh my gosh, my biggest gripe.
So you guys also attended South by Southwest this year, and it sounded like one hell of an experience. Like, I heard you met Barty Strange. I would legit die.
Oh my
God. I did. I passed away. I'm actually no longer here. No, that was the craziest moment, I think, of the whole entire festival. I just... Like, it's, you know, when you just, I'm really weirdly good at, like, identifying people. Ashley will tell you. Like, I just have a good face name recognition. So I was literally just, like, people watching at this tiny venue with no one in it. Like, we were some of the first people there. And I just, like, was like, boop. Oh, my God. That is Barty Strange. And Ashley was just like, cool. And starts walking over there. No, not giving me any time for preparation of meeting my fucking idol. No time to like decipher or think about what I'm going to say to this man who's made the most beautiful music for the past fucking 3 years. Who like literally is the sound of my pandemic. Like rude. But he is an angel from up above. He is so sweet. We actually got to DMing on Instagram and we were talking about our love for the band Dijon and how he's so excited to play in the same like little festival circuit for the Reset Festival tour thing that's happening. Cause it's like Boy Genius, Bartif, Dijon, and someone else I can't remember. Oh, Claro. And it was just kind of cool to have a conversation about music with a musician that you're obsessed with. It was it was a full circle moment. So that was the coolest part of South By. I mean, there were like a billion cool parts about South By, but that was, that one got my heart racing for sure.
Yeah. For a person that is like loves music so much and you're like, go to festivals and like small venues for up and coming artists, like South By Southwest is a dreamscape. It is so cool. So fun. It's everyone there is like so in love with music too. So it's just, you're with like, you feel like you're with your people. It's like, oh my God, it's the best.
It's like a festival for the music business people. And it's like, finally our dream come true. We also get to meet each other. Like we met all the companies that we work with hand in hand all the time who send us music all the time. And we're like, oh my God, you're not a little like email square bubble thing. And it's so cool to then get to like see the musicians that they've been promoting to us and like see the joy in their faces of like feeling useful, I think is such a strong feeling to have in the music industry. And it was really beautiful to kind of see. It was exciting. Oh, I love it. I miss it already. I have severe sadness because of it.
Yeah. I had some friends who went Razor Braids the best.
Yeah.
There are such great people too, and so talented, so great live. So many really great, like, I just really love going to a house show and like having my eardrums assaulted. There's no better feeling. And whenever my friends like go to South By, I'm just like, oh, I pretend to be above it when in reality, I just can't afford to go right now.
right. Which is and the hardest part. And honestly, I think it's something that like everyone should try to get to experience. Like, yes, it is very expensive to get out there and be out there, but honestly worth it more than just a festival. Cause you know, festivals are like, you get a little overwhelmed, you get a little social anxiety, you get a little tired. South by Southwest, we found, is a marathon. Like, we were, like, I'm still catching up on sleep, I think. But the fact that it was just so cool to see so many artists that from all different backgrounds, all different fucking countries, all different continents, and being in one general area is, like, you just get to see the best of the best of the best. And that's such a unique feeling that I think a regular festival doesn't give you. So if you're a huge music business nerd, South By is your festival.
And and like you said, you also get to meet so many of the people who work in the business side and who you communicate with on a daily basis. And also like a lot of smaller up and coming bands who probably wouldn't have gotten exposure otherwise on other stages, which I really love about South By as well.
Yes. Yeah, we literally, I think we've been adopted by the country of Australia because we lived at what they call the Australia House, which I don't know if you know this, but the government will pay for them to go to South by Southwest. Wouldn't that be nice, America? But so it was really fun because we got to meet a metric fuck ton of Australians who have been nothing but the nicest, most encouraging group of people, and they all are insanely talented musicians and they all know each other, which is even cooler. So we were like hanging with all of them by the end of the week. We would have never had that experience because it's not like they can get out here to tour. That's not feasible usually. So it's so cool to have that opportunity, like you were saying, to just like people from all corners of the world we got to hang out with. It was dope. Oh,
who were some of the best bands that you discovered when you were there?
Ooh.
Sipo, for sure.
Yeah, Sipo I knew about already, but seeing him live was like a whole other thing.
Different world.
Everyone that we saw, for the most part, we knew of already. Like, it took months to put our schedule together. We really did a deep dive. We have a really awesome playlist on our Spotify. It's Girls Go to South by Southwest, I think it's called. And it has so many, if you want to discover new music, all of the artists are in there. It's so amazing. But yeah, he put on a great show. I think that we saw one of our new favorite bands, Foley. They're from New Zealand. They're from New Zealand. And they're so sweet. We interviewed them. Their live show was so much fun.
We kept running into them.
They were everywhere we were. There's so many bands, honestly, that I wish we could have seen. It just was like not enough time. The worst part about South By is there's so much going on all the time that you have to like really have a schedule, just know where you're going to go and know that you're going to miss out on stuff.
Yes. FOMO is real. FOMO was real. But yeah, I think we saw a lot of artists that we generally kind of knew of too. Like Annabelle Lee, I think Ash was going to mention later, but she was on a showcase we got to see Perla, who is like one of my favorite up and coming artists right now. Like, I would die to get more Perla music. Just really, really not even small, but just like people who are very new to the scene that we've been aware of, but haven't been able to have an experience to see live or really listen to their music deeply because they don't have a lot out. That's also the cool thing is some of these artists don't really have a lot of music out. So really they're putting their new stuff out for blast at South by Southwest, which is probably very scary. So So it's really cool to kind of go through that entire playlist and be aware of everyone we saw.
Yeah, that, and I do imagine that it's so like a marathon. Like, there's so much stuff going on that you need to come prepared, and you need to have a list or you're fucked.
Yes. Very, very fucked.
Our brains need a list. We need to be told where to go. Otherwise, we're like, ah.
We flounder.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of like newer emo bands, are you guys aware of a Sweet Pill?
Oh, no.
No.
Fantastic emo band from Philly. Their album,
Sweet Pill?
Yeah, Sweet Pill. Their album's called Where the Heart Is, and the cover is one of my favorite album covers I've seen in the past 5 months.
Oh, I've listened to this because I remember that cover. I remember this. I feel like I listened to Blood a lot. Or Sucker Punch? I can't remember, but I feel like I do remember them. They're super good.
Yeah, Hayley Williams played them on her BBC radio program.
Oh, hell yes.
And said she thinks it already kind of sounds like a classic record. That's a direct quote.
Damn.
Love that.
Damn, that's quite the compliment.
Yeah, quite the endorsement for sure.
Yeah. I'm a very like old school Midwest emo girl too. So for me, kind of, you know, like Title Fight, you've got, oh my God, this is where I blank, Sorority Noise, and you've got, you know, all those boys bands back in the day, Into It, Over It, anything Mike Kinsella touches, you know, American Football.
I love all the Kinsellas so much.
They just came out with a new album.
Yes. Oh my God. Have you listened to Nate Kinsella's project? I forget exactly what it's called.
Is it the new one that they just, it was Mike and Nate?
I think so.
It's called Lies. Like the band name is called Lies.
I don't think it's that. They have like 55 bands. Like, I'm trying to figure.
No.
One of a great, great artist who you might know of, she's local, Alicia Walter, who I spoke to a few weeks ago. She is close. She's from Chicago originally, so she's close personal friends with Nate Kinsella, and she plugged one of his recent projects. I totally forget what it was called. I'll have to email it to y'all after this, but
please.
Yeah. I also am obsessed with all of those, like, the memification of Never Meant by American Football, just like Super Mario, just like ding, 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 ding. Super Mario.
I used to fall asleep to that kind of music, like a psychopath. Like, it'd just be like heavy drum, be like, okay, night night. Like, what? Am I okay? No. No.
I'm also curious on what your thoughts are on the concept of guilty pleasures in music. Because on one hand, I would like to, in theory, believe that no one should feel guilty about anything they enjoy listening to. But on the other hand, I do feel like something like, I don't know, Steven by Kesha, that song still slaps, but you might have good cause to feel guilty about liking that because Dr. Luke's name is on that album. So like,
it's like liking Chris Brown is like, is that guilty pleasure? You know, not saying we listen or like Chris Brown, we don't, but you know, I understand where your thought process is on that one. I don't know. Ash, what do you think on that?
We just talked about this on a hot take. What band did you say that you listened to in the car still, even though, I can say 100% talking about guilty pleasures more, and like, I just don't really tell anyone about it because we talk about like other kinds of music, but I literally just saw Taylor Swift and she puts on a fantastic show. And I feel like her music and like when we're talking on our podcast would definitely be a guilty pleasure because Kelsey, Rachel, they're both like not Swifties, but it's an insane thing what she does when she goes on tour. And that was the first time I saw her and I got bracelets. Everyone was so nice. Like, it is definitely like a very cult-like atmosphere. going to one of her shows, and I was indoctrinated, and it was like such a magical moment. But that's like,
but I think you're right. Yeah, I think that's a very guilty pleasure-esque thing.
Yeah, it's like something that I put on when I just want to bebop around, and you know, it's kind of like mindless stuff, but it's sometimes just a nice listen.
Yeah, I mean, I try not to feel guilty about anything I listen, because I can bounce. I mean, Ashley and I both can bounce around from like a Broadway bop to like literally Moulin Rouge is our favorite movie, and her and I can sing that entire soundtrack from front to be like front to end, like easily. And so it's like, are we ashamed or embarrassed of that? No, because I have a really good taste in music. My dad, both of our families were very musical. So we love everything. That's just how we were raised to be. So I don't feel guilty listening to anything per se, but I definitely agree with Ash. Like, I understand that we are music, I hate saying this, tastemakers, so to speak, online. Like, so I get that kind of embarrassment of being like, yeah, I love Taylor Swift. But I think at the same time, that just proves that, Ash, you have a, like, you have a very broad taste in music, and that's okay. That's okay to have.
Yeah, I am also guilty of being a Swiftie, part-time Swiftie at least. Like,
part-time Swiftie. That's a great way to describe it.
Yeah. What's that song by Television Personalities? La 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 la, here they come, the part-time punks. Like, we're part-time.
Oh my Swiftie. God.
Oh my that God, I love that. Yes. Yes. And I will say, I'm a huge folk fan in Folklore. For me, I like loved that album by Taylor. I thought it was so well done. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely something though, like in our podcast and things we do, we talk about up and coming artists that are like, it's just different. I feel like
so far away from that world. Yeah, yeah,
it's just a different world. That's what it is. It is. Yeah. But it's fun to be a part-time Swiftie. Let's be part-time Swifties together. Come on.
The two of you make a whole Swiftie. Exactly.
The math is mathematizing. Yeah,
the math is mathing.
And so what, oh my goodness, did she play the 10-minute version of All Too Well?
She did. She did play it.
Were it people was good. Crying?
Yes. People were crying. People were singing. I mean, on our TikTok, there's this video that actually kind of went viral a little bit that I posted. And was it Love Story? And the crowd went wild during this song. Like, everyone was singing. She played like her old shit, which I was so happy about because I'm in my 30s. So I was like, this like really brings me back to like high school.
God. Oh God. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I think it was Kelsey who mentioned Simple Plan earlier. Is that correct?
Yes. Oh yeah.
I was a major Simple Plan head back in the day as well. And I feel like they get derided so much for singing about kid stuff.
Yeah. I was like, they were kids.
Yeah, that they were kids, at least at the time. Like the fact that they're still writing like that now in their 40s is a different story. But like,
yeah.
Like that, but back in the day, who in their early teens wasn't like belting out, I'm sorry, I can't be
perfect. Oh my God. I mean, it's so funny because we actually just saw them. They played with Sum 41. I'm a huge Sum 41 girl too. And Ashley and I did press for Simple Plan. So I literally got to take photos and Pierre was like right there. And I was like having a panic because I was like, this is my dream fucking come true. Like, if I could tell 13-year-old Kels, like, you're going to stand in the front of a fucking Simple Plan show one day and take photos of the band, I would not believe myself. And they were so fun live.
They are so fun.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, recommend. I think they're going on tour again together. It's a great show. They are,
with someone else, Ash. It's like a huge...
Oh,
it's Sum 41, Simple Plan, and some Incubus? That sounds weird. Something like that.
I'm looking it up right now.
There's someone that they're going on tour with that's really huge.
The Offspring, I think.
The Offspring. There we go. One of those stoner bands.
Yeah, The Offspring. Yeah.
And all the girlies say, I'm pretty fly for a white guy.
Exactly. Which, that would be such a fun show. Like, I think there's so much nostalgia in that, that like, hell yeah, capitalize the shit out of it. Do it. We're here for it.
It's like, yeah, and I love like how it's come back around, like in a way that everyone is like so excited for this Blink 182 reunion when it was announced.
Oh, San Diego went insane because they're from Poway out here, and like trying to get tickets to their San Diego show. Good luck. Good luck on you.
Yeah. Do you guys know, this is like a very entertaining podcast that might be a little bit of a guilty pleasure for me because it's just two dudes yelling into a microphone.
That's Ashley's favorite.
The podcast, Your Favorite Band Sucks.
No. Oh my God, that sounds hysterical though.
It's two former promoters from Nashville. Oh. Their names are Tyler Mahan Coe and Mark Mosley, that's the other one. But they make podcast episodes like, and it's this same like formula, like the Beatles suck and or the Strokes suck. Like it's like an insert band name here sucks. And that's all the episodes. And they recently did a Ticketmaster sucks episode.
Oh, love that.
And one of the interesting points that they brought up is like something that I like from the angle that they approach things from is that they try to bring more nuance into a conversation that is leaning into a certain way that maybe it shouldn't be. Like, for example, they were saying how they sent like representatives of Ticketmaster to these hearings. No one even mentioned the words Live Nation. And like, in a way that's it seems kind of strategic, like Ticketmaster is like the whipping boy for the meat. Like you're supposed to hate me. Like,
oh yeah, that's a good point.
Which is interesting. Yeah.
I'll have to listen to that. I have their website up. So cool. I'm like discovering so much stuff right now. This is so
fun. I know.
And also what I love about y'all is like how you guys sort of do the same thing on your podcast. Like you always have segments where you're like, here are our thoughts about this, or here are some hot takes on the industry. And so like, for instance, do you want to explain the takes you had about Maddie Healy? If you feel comfortable talking about that.
Oh yeah. I love that. I mean, I think it's an interesting thing because Ashley was the one to tell me all about it.
I'm a little heartbroken because I am a 1975's OG fan. Like I have loved them. I've seen them in a small venue here in San Diego a few times, like when they were first starting that first album. Their self-titled album, I believe, is so fucking good. I mean, it's their OG sound and they've just like changed a lot in the recent albums. Like I've kind of dropped off from their fan base, and then to see him like come out and be like the way that he's being right now is just, and I think our original hot take was about how he thinks that it's absurd for artists to be charging for meet and greets. And which, I mean, it depends on the artist. Like if, like Adele or Taylor Swift charging for that? No, absurd. I just tried to get Adele tickets today. I got a verified fan pre-sale link, went to buy tickets. They're literally $800, like not resale. That's just the price. I'm like, what? Who can afford this? That's insane and so sad. Like I teared up because I was so excited that I finally got a code because last round I didn't, but they were reselling for like $1,000. So I'm like, well, maybe those people are reselling for a lot. No. They literally cost $800. So for her to charge for a meet and greet is insane and so ridiculous. But like, say you're an up and coming artist, you get streams, but you don't get paid out a lot for streams. I think charging for a meet and greet is completely fair. And you should, because your time is valuable and your tickets sell for like $25, not $800. So it's just kind of a different thing. And he might have meant it. I don't think he really specified. on big or small artists, but like just to stay, he's just been saying a lot of things before he thinks. And yeah, it's upsetting.
Yeah, he's I agree. I think I understand where he's coming from in terms of larger artists. But this is also coming from the man who makes out with his own audience, his own fans, like without consenting. You know, like of course what there have been thousands of girls on TikTok being like, I hope he chooses me to kiss me. And it's like, do you want that? Do you actually want that? So for me, it's like, he's just so not in his right mind right now. He's clearly like drinking again. He's clearly not sober. So I think for him to say and comment on anything about being a bigger artist and you know, be feeling skeezed out by these paid meet and greets, like he has no place to say shit. So I don't know. He just back away, sir. Back away. Yeah. Back away from the fans, please. Stop making out with the fans.
I agree. I think that's extremely skeezy. And also, I think I have been looking into this a lot, too. And I read an interesting article by Danielle Chalosky in I think it was in Uproxx. But she essentially made the point that it's that we need to have rock stars who test people's limits out there and that this doesn't necessarily mean that we should endanger underage fans, but also that becoming like, I don't know, she phrased it way better than I did. And I thought it was an interesting point, but also like in the same vein, like you said, he's clearly not in his right mind. He is definitely back on the sauce.
Very much back on the sauce. So, he is saucing hard.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish him the best, I guess. I can't say I really cared all that much, though, because I hadn't listened to the 1975 since, like, maybe the sophomore album. What's that creepy long title? I Like It When You Sleep.
Because You're Beautiful, because something.
Beautiful and unaware of it.
Yeah, yes.
It's just so unfortunate to see fame and ego do that to a person. And I think he's kind of, I understand he's definitely got that like rock star vibe of like, no one can touch him. He's a god, whatever it may be, but he's not, he's a human in this day and age, post Me Too, current Me Too moments, you know, like we are not the same people we were back in the 70s of rock stars. You know, we did not talk about that. Women did not speak up. So I think there's no room for that rock star mentality in this day and age. And I don't want there to be a rock star mentality because that just is so taking advantage of fans. And I think that's what Maddie Healy's doing right now. And to say that, again, to kind of bring this full circle, to even have an opinion about who does meet and greets, he has no place. He has no place to talk. Like, sorry, dude, go away. Like, let's have Beyonce talk about it. And then let's have a tiny artist talk about it. Let's have differing opinions, have a conversation about it. Yeah. Not just a straight white male being a straight white male.
Yeah. And you know what really pisses me off is that, you know, let me actually pull this up so I can read it out loud. But
you know, it really grinds my gears.
I know. Really grinds my gears. That.
But
you know, what really ticks me off. I love that.
Yeah. You know what I hate? Yeah.
You know what I just dislike intensely.
So someone wrote a comment about this.
Oh no!
Here it is. Love this stuff, it says. We need people to disrupt and start a conversation at this moment in time. We're in danger of becoming like those bobble-headed dolls nodding in the back of a car. And I'm like, we need... Okay, so Maddie Healy is the right person to disrupt and start a conversation in times like this. This was actually... I'm looking at the name. This was... allegedly, if going off of the name, this was likely a woman who wrote this comment as well. So,
and that's the thing is there are, you know, women who still buy into that kind of person. And you know what? I hope they learn. I hope they educate. I hope they figure out why that's problematic to say. I'm not going to say, like, well, she's stupid, but, like, it's, again, choose a more diverse conversation. Choose people who deserve to be in the space to speak. Like, I always talk about how, while I like hip hop, I don't have a place to speak about it, because I don't know about the culture. I don't know about the history. I don't know about the entire, you know, genre of hip hop. Can I say I enjoy it? Absolutely. But it's almost like I know I don't have a place there. I feel like I wish people would feel that way about conversations. Like, just know where you have a voice and know where you shouldn't have a voice, and let other people kind of stand up for you. And that's hard in music. That's so hard in you, because we are currently breaking the world. We're breaking the industry. The women are disrupting the industry. Because if you think about who is in top 40 right now, it's 99% women. 99% women. And they're all pop stars. And so it's like, the diversity, okay, yes, at least we have women in there, but we need still more diverse humans. We need trans people. We need queer people. We need people from other countries. We need more diverse conversation to happen, because, oh, a straight white man like Matty Healy has no place in, and I don't believe him. Like, it's so, ugh, you know, it's like, why? I'm not even gonna listen to you. I don't even want to listen to you, you know? Ugh, I can go on a diatribe about this entire conversation. Just, ugh, it drives me insane.
Yeah. And before I let you two go, since we're all about new music discovery here, for each of you, who is one up-and-coming artist you would love to plug as we reach the tail end of this episode?
Ash, do you want to go first?
Sure, I will go first. We already talked about her a little bit earlier when we were talking about South by Southwest, but my artist is Annabelle Lee. She is an incredible rock and roll artist. I mean, she puts on one hell of a live show. She just did her album release party in LA. She's from LA, lives there now. She does like pop-ups all the time in LA. So if you live there and you're listening, you should look up Annabelle Lee and go check her out. She's also a sweet baby angel. We've talked to her through DMs a lot. And she just, her music is about, like, it surrounds womanhood. It surrounds empowerment, like self-resilience and self-reliance. Just like, it's amazing. I am obsessed. Her album is incredible. It's called Mother's Hammer. It just came out. I believe that's her debut album too. Yes. Yep. We talk about her on the podcast. I think the one that just came out on Monday. So it'll be like when this comes out, probably a month or so before this, but go check it out. I talk about her more in depth then. But yeah, she's incredible. If you like rock and roll, she's one to watch in the genre. And honestly, like, just in general, I feel like she's going to take off, and she's independent, which is incredible.
Is Annabelle Lee her stage name? Is it like a moniker? I think that's an Edgar Allan Poe reference.
It is. And when we talked about it in the podcast, I literally was like, Annabelle, is your name actually named, is like this a moniker for Edgar Allan Poe, or what is it? And I need to DM her because I haven't asked, but I couldn't find anywhere online. Like, there's nothing that mentions Edgar Allan Poe, like in any interviews, but I'm like, that's a weird, because her music is kind of dark like that. So it would fit, but yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe she was just named that.
And Poe was the original, it was like the original emo.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
I also second this. Annabelle Lee, is that album is a 5 out of 5 for me instantly. Like, just incredible production. She has a voice of, like, she can scream, she can wail and be like delicate the next moment, and you're like, oh my god, the juxtaposition is insane.
Like, very like high octane vocals where you're like, wow.
Stand down. My artist is actually another one that we've been promoting recently. Her name is Shalom. Well, she goes by Shalom. She's actually from South Africa, but she moved to New Jersey to go to Rutgers. And she is like Arlo Parks mixed with Bartice Strange, mixed with Princess Nokia, like just this very like indie rock, but with an alt vibe. And I just finished her album a couple days ago and it's like still haunting me. Like I'm still thinking about it. She has a song called Narcissist that I like bop to every day. And I think she is just a person that will really blow up in the indie world, kind of much like Arlo Parks, like, you know, the Boy Genius Girls, kind of that very badass bitch kind of vibe, but like self-deprecating, very self-deprecating. And that's the kind of music I really love. She also is just inspired by like all the musicians I love, like LCD Sound System, Maggie Rogers, Indigo D'Souza, kind of all those people she looks up to. And those are like, you can hear the influences for sure. So I am fully obsessed. I think she has this like really dope outlook on life. And I think within her music, it's so powerful. And so I can't believe she's not bigger than she is. Like it baffles me.
And Shalom's on Saddle Creek, right?
Yes, which is insane.
Bright Eyes, Rilo, Kylie. Yeah. Like
who Jenny Lewis is my idol. I actually would die if I ever met Jenny Lewis, would die. But I think, like I said, Shalom is just like this really, really dope up and coming artist that I think more people need to maybe sit with the album. It is dark. It is heavy, but I think there's beauty in that. So if you don't like it on a first go, maybe sit with it a little bit more because I think it's deserving of that.
Hell yeah. Well, I am so glad that we got to slot this chat in for today because I had a blast chatting with you.
Thank you so much. We will.
This was so much fun. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for listening to Sounding Out with Izzy, and a big thank you once again to Kelsey and Ashley for shooting the shit with me in today's episode. If you would like to hear me geek out about both television and Carly Rae Jepsen in one conversation, then head on over to the most recent episode of Kelsey and Ashley's podcast, Bops and Bangers, where I join as a guest to discuss my top 5 albums of all time. Link in the show notes. Remember to subscribe and sign up for the mailing list on my YouTube channel and written blog, both under the name A Girl's Two Sound Sense. Give the podcast a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening, and I will catch you in the next episode of Sounding Out with Izzy.